Hey, just a quick reminder that we are now, we've started our Wednesday night Uncomfortable Conversations, and that's at 6:30 on Wednesday nights. We started last Wednesday, and it was so much fun. So much fun. So we talked about how could a loving God send people to hell? That was one of the things that we talked about. What was the other one that was really kind of stirred up a lot of... where's Wendy, who was there? Brandon, what was the other one? Can you lose your salvation? We talked about that, too. So if these are like questions, if these are like issues that you're like, wait a minute, that's something I want to talk... Wednesday nights at 6:30, and nothing is off limits. So it's just a great... And we're just talking about it, and it's great. So did y'all have fun that we're there? Wasn't that fun? Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Okay, so we're going to do that again. Come this Wednesday, 6:30. Bring a snack if you want to. We're asking to leave the kids at home because who knows, right, what we're going to talk about. Because nothing's off limits. So it's 18 and older. So, hey, real quick, let's put up our mission statement. This is what we're all about. Let's say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. All right, so now I want you to say it again, but I want you to say it with meaning, with heart. Say it again. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. Yeah, we have a great mission at our church, and I love it because it's a passionate mission. It's not a boring mission. And we're loving each other. We're loving Jesus. We're growing in Him. And we're going for His glory. We're serving each other and serving others. And so this morning what we're doing is we are continuing a 5-part series called Hard Conversations, not unlike Uncomfortable Conversations. This would be really more like how to have hard conversations. And well, we're talking about how we can reflect Jesus in the difficult, often divisive conversations of our day. And does anybody here ever like open up your Facebook app or whatever, and maybe you just kind of swipe up a few times and you go, this is a bunch of bull. And then you like close it, like, or like, what, oh, you know. And because it's like, you know, you take our inability to have like meaningful conversations about the, you know, holding opposite views, and you take our inability and you make yourself even more unable, and you go online, and it's like we just forget how to talk to others. You know, we're not having a conversation. All, you know what we're doing? We're throwing grenades at each other. That's how we talk about, you know, issues that divide, or issues that, you know, we have strong opinions on. We don't necessarily have conversations with the idea that we're going to understand each other. We just kind of lob grenades at each other. Or as a friend of mine say, all we do is we pee on each other, right? Excuse me, pardon me. I know it's kind of offensive, but that's kind of how we have conversations, you know, sometimes, and issues that divide us. And so we started off, we talked about how God has all truth, but we don't have a perfect understanding of it. God has all truth. There is an ultimate truth. There is. You know, as Christians, we believe that there is an ultimate truth, but God has it. He knows it. And you and I, we don't have perfect understanding of that truth. One day we will. I believe that when we get to heaven, we have new minds, we'll have perfect understanding of the truth. We don't have perfect understanding of the truth here. And so, but God has all truth. There is truth. And we talked about how being loving is as important as being right. And sometimes we get so focused on being right that we forget about the being loving part, right? Because we want the other person to understand how right we are. You know, and it's all about getting them to see things the way that we see things, and we forget sometimes about being loving. And then last week, Wendy talked about how this Holy Spirit can create unity where it once seemed impossible. That is, it is not impossible to have unity. And especially, you know, we talked about in the church, remember that story she shared? Wasn't that awful? Oh, my goodness. I tell you, that thing, that like bugged me for days. And I saw that, and it just bugged me for days. And I was so thankful that the Holy Spirit was able to work it out so that we could at least go, all right, we're good. We're cool. You know, and the Holy Spirit can create unity. And so today I want to talk about something that's really important. When we have hard conversations, I want to talk about our internal response. Our internal response to those things is so, so, so important. I remember one time I was having a conversation with somebody on an issue that we both had completely opposite viewpoints on. And we were talking about abortion. And so we're talking about the issue of abortion. We had complete opposite sides. And I remember, you know, because as a Christian, I believe that life begins at conception. That God creates life. He says in his word, I knew you. I formed you in your mother's womb. That, you know, that life is there, okay? And as a father, I remember when Wendy became pregnant with our first son. And I remember, like, having her first sonogram, her first ultrasound. And we see this little picture, and the doctor said, yeah, he's about the size of a grain of rice. And we see this picture in the sonogram, little baby about the size of, you could hear a heartbeat, you know. And as the father, I heard the heartbeat. I was not thinking, that's a glob of tissue, right? I was thinking, that's my child, right? And I remember, like, the doctor was like, oh, yeah, it's just a rice. Just rice. It's about the size of, and so Wendy and I used to go, rice, rice, baby. Ding, 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 ding. You know, we were so excited we had our little rice baby, you know, and the heartbeat, I was just, I already, at that moment, I felt like a father. I didn't feel like somebody who was just waiting for something to gestate in my wife's stomach, right? And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. And the person that I was talking about, talking with about this issue, almost seemed like they were more interested in hurting me with their words than actually having a dialogue. Have you ever had one of those conversations? It's like they're not even wanting to present evidence to me. They're just trying to hurt me. Have you ever had one of those? You know, and it's like this sort of vicious conversation, and at least it felt that way to me. And they would say things like, "You got to be stupid to believe abortion is murder." They'd say stuff like that. "You got to be an idiot." You know, you ever hear those people say that? "You got to be so dumb to believe things that way." And then they'd say, some poor people are just better off terminating the pregnancy because that child would just grow up in poverty anyway. You know, they'd say things like that. And of course, you know, I just found myself getting angry, you know, and just frustrated. Like, I felt like they were just attacking me, and what they were saying was so vicious and nasty, and the conversation just left just such a bad taste in my mouth for days, you know. And of course, all of the things that I should have said or would have said start to go through my mind. You ever do that before, you know? All the words, all the things that you wish you would have said, all the things that you could have said to hurt them back, all the things that you could have said to just drop the mic, you know. And it was just, for days, it just left a bad taste in my mouth. And it was really difficult not to take what they said personally. You know, especially being a father, you know, because in a way I felt like they were saying that about my own son, you know, and it felt like this person's attack on my beliefs was an attack on me. And it just felt very offensive, and it just hurt, you know. And you've probably been there before. Maybe you've been there before, where you had a conversation with somebody on the opposite side of like the political aisle, and they got super nasty about your political party, or the candidate you supported, and you felt like, you know, in a way, indirectly, they were attacking you, you know, for supporting someone like that, or you were talking about a topic that tends to divide people, and they basically said that everyone who believes what you believe just lacks a brain. Everybody who believes that's just an idiot, you know, and you feel attacked, and you feel misheard, and maybe you ended up just feeling hurt. Or you got emotional, or you got anxious. Anybody been there? Am I the only one? Am I the one? Okay, I just want to make sure. Everybody seems a little sleepy today. Wake up. It's a passionate mission, okay? And it's super, super important. It's really important that if we're going to have conversations like this, and you know what? Inevitably we will. Inevitably we will. Just give it to your next family reunion, you know? Or give it to the next time you ride the bus next to somebody who just loves to talk about things, you know, or whatever. If we're going to have conversations like that, it's super important that those conversations that we have can at least somehow become life-giving, right? At least not life-sapping. We don't want these conversations to be life-sapping, but at least life-giving. And how can we move from reactions that are negative to ones that are more potentially productive? And so I want to talk about that today, and it's an important topic. So let's go ahead and let's pray real quick. God, we love you so much, and we thank you that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, God, that you love us, that you care about the conversations that we have. You want our words to bring life. And God, you desire unity. You long for unity. And so, God, we want to be people who are agents of unity and not agents of division. Lord, help us to respond in a way inside, God, that brings glory to you when we have these conversations. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I want to start off. I want to look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And it says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Can we say that together? It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. That's so important. We're going to understand this. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you remember one thing this morning, I want you guys to remember this. We can find our identity in Christ, not in our belief systems. We can find our identity in Christ, not in our belief system. That's so important because a lot of times where we find our identity will determine our emotional or internal response to difficult conversations, to hurtful words, to words that just feel kind of malicious or feel like they're attacking us. Where we find our identity is super, super important. Years ago, some researchers from Harvard investigated the nature of difficult conversations, okay? So even Harvard is interested in how we have difficult conversations and how those conversations can be done well. And they concluded that for most hard conversations, there are two potential dead ends. So if you ever had like a conversation with somebody and like you feel like you're just hitting a dead end, this is going nowhere, right? And they're just there's two potential dead ends. The first thing is getting stuck in the question, what happened? What happened? And you know, we're kind of in that spot right now as a nation because of the school shooting. And it doesn't seem like there's, and everybody's trying to tell everybody else how it happened, right? So everybody's going, what happened? So you got some people going, well, I'll tell you what happened. We got too loose of gun laws, right? And then you got other people, I'll tell you what happened. We're letting kids play violent video games, right? And then you go, well, I'll tell you what happened. You kicked God out of school. What did you expect to happen, right? And so this question over this divisive issue of what happened is the kind of question that actually kind of leads to a dead end, right? Because has there become a consensus? Is there a consensus now? No. You know what? And so what do? We go back to the bad ways of communicating that we talked about a couple weeks ago. I see memes all over the place about guns and memes about video games. And I see memes about, you know, the president not doing enough and memes about the liberals saying quit with the, you know, and people talking about, you know, drugs and just all sorts of things, you know. And so this question, what happened, just leads to this dead end. Okay, they just can't agree on an answer to that question. So when we ask what happened, it sounds like a very logical question, right? Doesn't that sound like a productive question? Well, what happened? Well, let's think about it. Let's talk about it. The problem is that the question, what happened, leads to a dead end. Some people say Republican gridlock, and other people are saying bleeding heart liberals, and some people say systematic racism, and other people say poor choices. And it leads to just getting stuck. It just leads to a roadblock. And most often, the two sides of any given issue are so dead set in their belief system and its supporting facts, because there's facts on both sides, right? And they make sense, that trying to resolve this basic question is usually pretty fruitless, to go, what happened, all right? So that's one of the big roadblocks that happens in these conversations. And the second dead end happens when you or I, or we simultaneously, and we do this, we try to convince the other person of our good intentions, don't we? Hey, listen, this is my good, this is what I mean, but at the same time, we distort their intentions. Aren't we awesome with that? Like, we judge other people by their actions, and we judge ourselves by our intentions. How does that make sense? We judge other people by our intentions and how we feel about these things. We judge ourselves that way by our intentions, but we judge other people by what they say and do. And that just leads to gridlock. It just leads to roadblocks, okay? And so we kind of we distort their intentions and we judge their intentions while we try to convince them that our intentions are good. And so if we unintentionally offend someone and then try to explain to that person that we didn't mean to, but then at the same time we're offended by their words, it just doesn't do any good, does it? All right, y'all kind of see how we end up just doing this because of that? That is a roadblock, okay? The key to moving forward in hard conversations is to find my identity in Christ. And my identity is independent of what the other side says or does, okay? So my identity and who I feel like I am and all of that thing is in Christ, not in what somebody else says or does, okay? And it's so important that we live our lives that way all the time. Not just when we have difficult conversations, not when we just butt heads with people, but all the time we should find our identity in Christ, not what other people are saying about us. Because people say some lousy stuff, don't they? Y'all remember the note last week, you know, when the guy comes to visit our church and said, you know, he refers to the worship as entertainment and claims that the cross is pushed off to the side and Jesus is not front and center in that church, you know? And we have those times and we have to understand that we find our identity in Christ. Not what other people say about us, not what they post about us on Facebook, not what they, you know, say to you in an argument, not what they meme, okay? So what are some things that we can build on that foundation? Because the foundation is, our identity is where? That's our foundation, exactly. So how can we build on that so that when we have conversations that can be more productive, and then we can not take them so personally? It's so important. We just learn not to take things so personally. Why is the news so divisive? Why are those things so... Why do you think that... just off script here. Why do you think it is that the news seems to kind of celebrate these things and blow things up and make it look like we're just this divided people and we're fighting and there's unrest and all that? So why do you guys think that they do that? Yeah. That's right. Because negative spreads faster than positive, because it's ratings. Because you know what? When everybody's getting along, that doesn't sell anything. That doesn't get clicks, right? That doesn't sell newspapers. That doesn't get people to tune in for the next story, okay? Let's try to make for the most boring news ever. All right? Let's love each other. Let's get along. Okay? So the first thing is this, if we want to kind of build on that and not take things so personally, first, know your limits, okay? Know your limits. What does that mean? Some people have unlimited capacity for hard conversations. They do. They have unlimited. I call them masochists. And they just seem to love that. And they have unlimited conversation. And here's what I mean by that. They never run out of patience. They never run out of grace. They never run out of empathy. They can kind of just talk about things that are divisive, and they can talk about those things that bring conflict in such a loving way, and they just never run out of grace. Never run out. They're just smiling, whatever. Okay, love you, you know. And they don't have any limits. That's not me. And if that's not you, then know your limits and walk away before you start to take things personally. So if you're going to get engaged in a conversation, if you think... We keep going back. I see it on Facebook all the time. That's what drives me nuts. If you're going to leave, it's funny because I have a friend, you know him. I have a friend who's been posting a lot on Facebook about issues that tend to be divisive, that tend to kind of divide us, that there's really hard lines on. Recently, he posted something else that said something to the extent of, kind of, I don't understand why if I talk about this, everybody calls me that. I don't understand if I say that. And I'm thinking to myself, what do you expect? If you're going to broadcast hard opinions on divisive topics, you're going to get people coming along and commenting saying, I don't agree, you're an idiot. Right? You're going to get that. And so use wisdom. Know your limits. If that's something that's going to stir more divisive talk in you, just stop, okay? When we walk away, when we stop, when we know our limits, it doesn't mean that the other side wins. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It just means that you're wise enough to know that you're a human being with limits, okay? And that you've reached yours, all right? So if you are going to, yeah, so if you have limits in that area, just try not to talk about things that are so divisive, okay? So just be wise. Know your limits, all right? Next thing is really important. Have people in your life who lovingly support you. And I don't mean necessarily have people in your life that, you know, side with you, but who love you and support you, okay? You know, it's important that we not have everybody in our life sharing the same views and beliefs and always remind you that the other people are on the wrong side. You don't want people like that in your life. What do they call that? They call that an echo chamber. Everybody's just sort of saying the same thing. Everybody's, you know, and it's important that we have people who are diverse in our life and who believe different things that you could have intelligent conversations with, but who also will love you and support you. What a great combination, isn't it? Don't we wish we all had like a very diverse group of people who believe different things but also love and support each other? Isn't that the way it should be? Don't you think that that's like, isn't that the way that God wants it? Okay, because he wants unity. And unity is not always agreeing on everything. Unity is loving each other, even though we have our disagreements, okay? And you know what? I'll be real honest with you. That's why I love being part of this church. There are people here who believe things very differently than I believe. We hold different views on things. We hold different political stances. But you know what? We're not fighting. We love each other. We support each other. We pray for each other. It's one of the things that I love about this church. I bet you if we were to go back and look at last November's voting record, it would probably be split right down the middle. Okay? And I love that about this church because we're not defined by the things that divide us. We're defined by the things that unite us. Right? And we're united under Christ and we can have... Do I got problems? I don't agree. Okay, and I love you anyway. So even Wendy and I, we don't agree on everything. Yeah, even I know it's hard to believe we don't agree on everything. In some areas, she's wrong. And so, I'm kidding. But we love each other.
Drop the mic.
Yeah, but it's important that we have people in our lives that love and encourage us, even when we don't share the same viewpoints, okay? And so that's why I love that. So I know that there are people here who have my back when I'm hurting, who don't agree with me on everything. And so the last thing is this. Identify with Christ's humanity. Identify with Christ's humanity, all right? When Jesus was here on earth, and still to this day, he was horribly misunderstood. He was persecuted. You know, how can we as his followers expect less than that? Expect, you know what I mean? Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. People are going to hate you because of me. And so here we are following Jesus. And sometimes I think in the back of our minds, we expect a little bit or we get surprised when we're misunderstood or when we're hated, especially when we're following God to do something that other people don't understand. You know, you follow God to do something that other people don't understand, you're going to see that. So, but Jesus felt anger, he felt sadness, he felt exhaustion. And experiencing these things when people don't like you, and people disagree with you, and people put you down, when people are nasty towards you, you know what? It's part of the human experience. It is just part of the human experience. It's just part of being alive, okay? And Jesus walks through it with you. Jesus walks through it with you. I remember, growing up, I grew up in a home, and my brother went through a lot of addiction and a lot of anger, and alcoholism, drugs, and so he thought irrationally quite a bit. And on top of that, he had a volatile temper, and he could go from, you know, 0 to 70 in about 2 seconds. And from laughing to, you know, veins popping out of his neck and face turning red and spit flying and saying some things that should never be heard by any human ear, you know. And I remember,
going through a season one time where he was doing this, and he used to like to accuse me, you know, of things. And I remember hearing him upstairs yelling at my mother about me, and I went downstairs, and I just started to pray because, you know, words hurt, you know. And Christ just really speaking to me and just saying, you know what, that's okay, I'm your defending attorney. Let me be your defense. Just don't say anything. Let me be your defending attorney. And I said, okay. And I decided not to defend myself and not do anything, and everything turned out all right. And I remember that coming back to me years later. I was on staff at a church where the associate pastor with me had some issues as well. And he decided that he was going to try to get me fired. And so he went to the senior pastor, and he had all sorts of accusations against me, and they pulled me aside, and, you know, we have this meeting, and they're sitting next to me, and the associate pastor's kind of, and it was like the same thing. They're just veins and face red and spit flying and finger pointed and all these things about me, and the pastor said, you know, Lee, I don't know if you're going to be able to keep your job. I mean, these things seem pretty compelling, and he said, we're going to have to meet again tonight. It's getting late. We're running out of time. We're going to meet tonight. How about we just you and your wife and this pastor and his wife, you know, and me and my wife and the six of us will meet, and you might not be able to stay working here. And I said, oh, okay. And so I remember I went home, and I prayed, and again, I felt Jesus saying the same thing. Just don't say anything. Let me be your attorney. Okay? So the six of us get together that night, and I remember sitting there, and again, you know, the associate pastor, spit flying, face red, making all sorts of crazy accusations, and I just sat there, and I said nothing. Just prayed under my breath. And somewhere along that meeting, I remember the senior pastor turning his attention to the associate pastor and going, you know, I really think this is your problem. And just sort of, and he began, I think the Holy Spirit just gave him discernment. And said, I really think this is your problem. And I think you and I need to talk. And I went home and I kept my job. And it was just one of those moments where I decided to take an approach, identify with Christ's humanity. He's been persecuted. This is normal. This is part of the human experience to be, you know, treated that way. And I'm going to let Jesus be my defense attorney. And sometimes we have to do that. We just have to go, okay, God, you know, we're not going to agree on this issue. And they're even getting kind of nasty. But I'm gonna identify with your humanity. And you suffered, and you were mistreated. And I'm going to let you be my defense attorney. I think that's a word for, you know, at least one or two people here today, that you really need to let Jesus be your defense attorney. Just, you know what? Just be quiet and you know, understand that what the other person says a lot more about them than it does about you, right? So when the other person's getting ugly and nasty and spit flying and face red and veins popping, it says a lot more about them than it does about you. And so just rest in Christ's defense of you, all right? And I think that's some people need to hear that this morning. And so this morning what we're going to do, we're going to close up. And, you know, before we close up, because we're going to break into groups, but before I do that, I want to do this. You know, if you're in a place like that this morning that I just described, and you're like, yeah, I just really need Jesus to be my defense attorney, can I pray for you? Would that be all right? Would you just put up your hand and let me pray for you? Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Stand up with me and I'll pray with you. Go ahead. That's all right. And we just want to pray for you. Yeah. God's going to bless you. God's going to be there for you. He's going to defend you. Jesus is your defense attorney. Jesus is going to defend you. All right? All right. Anybody else? God wants to touch you, bless you. Okay. Anyone? Yeah. He's on your side. He's for you. God is for you, okay? If you're nearby one of these people, would you just reach out and touch them? Would you just reach out, put your hand on their shoulder? Just bless them, okay? I'm going to pray for you. All right, let's do this. God, we love you so much. We thank you that you are our defense attorney, that you are for us, you stand for us, you're our defender. And God, what we're going through as we're being attacked is not unusual. It's part of the human experience. It's part of what you went through, Jesus. You were completely sinless. You never, ever, ever sinned, and still you were condemned to death. So you know exactly what we're going through. And I pray, God, that for those standing today, that they would feel your nearness and encounter and experience you with them as their defense attorney, as their defender, God. Oh, God, do that now in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. All right, you guys can have a seat. Thank you. Okay, God is good, isn't he? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to break up into groups of twos and threes, all right? And we're going to discuss three questions really fast, okay? We're not going to take a whole lot of time. We got about 10 minutes. And so we're just going to discuss three questions. The first is this. The first question is this. What topic do I tend to experience the most emotion when talking with someone with an opposing viewpoint? Okay? So that's your first question. What topic is it? Maybe it's a political thing. Maybe it has to do with apologetics. Maybe it has to do with abortion. Maybe it has to do with your sports team. Right? You just get really riled up when there's a Tigers fan in the room. And whatever it is, okay? Okay, and who is the, you know, what is it? What? Steve. Okay, what is it? What topic gets you riled up, okay? The second question is this. Why do I think that is? Just take 10 seconds to just answer that question. Why do I think that is? Why do I think that I get riled up? Why is it? What is it about that subject that pushes my button? And then the last question is this, and you can answer them quickly. What would be different if I found my full identity in Christ? How would I respond differently if I found my full identity in Christ? So everybody got those questions? Okay, I think two of them are on the bulletin. The only one that's not in there is, why do I think that is? And so, is it in there? All three of them? Okay, cool. Excellent. So you got your bulletins, grab your bulletins, find two or three people, take a quick look around to make sure that you're not leaving anybody out, okay? So when you get together, take a quick look around and make sure you're not leaving anybody out. We're going to talk just for about 5 minutes, and then we'll come back together and we'll sing a song and we'll dismiss, okay? Go ahead. Take a quick look around. Make sure nobody's by themselves. Quick look around. Gary, if you and Andy and Kevin want to get together, there's three of them there. All right, we're going to go ahead and start wrapping up our conversations. Hopefully they are productive. So, yeah, I got a tweet. I got a tweet on the way somewhere. Somebody tweeted me during church. It was a God tweet. It says, "The problem with social media is that it gives people the chance to be the worst version of themselves and then rewards them with the attention of other people who are doing the same." Whew. So when we have hard conversations, we want to be the best version of ourselves, right? When I have our identity in Christ, when we hold our identity in Christ, we can be the best version of ourselves. So let's go ahead and pray, and then Wendy's going to close us up, all right? Father, we love you. We thank you. You are good. God, help us to represent you well in the hard conversations of life. And God, I pray that in all areas, we would find our identity in Jesus. We're loved. God, we're your children. Every one of us, God, it doesn't matter where we're from or what we look like or how much money we make or what kind of car we, nothing, none of that, God, matters. It's how you see us and how you love us, and we have our identity in you. God, we pray for unity in our country, unity among churches, unity among the believers. God, unity in families. Pray for unity. God, because unity brings a blessing. Because Jesus prayed for unity. We love you, God. In Jesus' name.